Yeah.
It's Nacho Mama's Christian Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to Nacho Mama's Christian Podcast. The Christian Podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I am your host, Shane. Eric, how'd you like that one? That one was creative.
Next time you do one that stupid, make sure you tell me so I can record it. So I can take a video of it.
That was a creative one.
It wasn't. Literally, we're at my kitchen table, and there's a thing of puffs. If you don't know what puffs are, it's like crack for babies.
Mm-hmm.
It melts in their mouth. It looks like a little...
It occupies them. It's like air.
Yeah, it's like air. And it's pretty good. And so your creativity was, I'm going to shake this.
And the bottle is like pretty empty. There's only like five puffs in there.
Yeah, because Savannah, I accidentally let Savannah give some puffs to Noah, and I turn around and she was dumping all of them onto his plate. Yeah, we need to go. I actually think I have more. I could have gotten them for you.
You could have.
If you really needed to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Eric, let me ask you this. How many times in your life do you think that you have played wiffle ball?
I don't know if I can even give a number to that. Hundreds?
Yeah, at least.
We used to play. So where our house is, we have a house, and then behind our house was a...
Growing up.
It was a field. Yeah, we grew up. It was a field. It wasn't really like a field as you normally think. It's just a bigger area of grass that the church owned, but they never used.
Which was down the street.
And it happened to be the perfect size for wiffle ball.
Yeah.
First we played baseball.
Uh-huh.
Until we started hitting our grandparents' house.
Yeah.
And then we started playing with a tennis ball and a baseball bat until we started hitting our grandparents' house. They're like, all right, let's move to wiffle ball. And so ever since then... And we moved in that house when I was in like fourth grade or fifth grade.
Yeah.
We used to play wiffle ball.
In the summer, it'd be every day.
It's every day. It was me, you, and Topper.
As long as the weather was nice.
Yeah. Almost every day. We would do Orioles versus Yankees.
Uh-huh.
And we would play a game and
the
try
Orioles
to hit.
Would always win.
Yeah, we'd always would try as hard as the Yankees were up. But why? Why do you ask, Shane?
Because we actually have something that is pretty exciting for us. I don't think that anybody, I don't know how much anybody else is going to care about this.
No, people will, because especially people that are sports people.
Yeah, if you are a sports fan in the Baltimore area, so you if you listened to us before, then you know that we are huge Baltimore guys and big Orioles fans and Ravens fans, but... We actually have the opportunity and the privilege to do an Orioles podcast for Birdland Radio, which is a really cool Baltimore Orioles podcast that's going on.
And Birdland Radio is their network, right?
Is their network. And so it's actually headed up by a podcast called Section 336.
Yep.
And they...
It's just a good, really good podcast, especially for Baltimore sports stuff. It's really
right.
Good.
If you like the Orioles, then it's really good information, and you should check them out and listen to them. And I've been connecting with Josh from Section 336.
Hold on. He listens to this podcast.
He does.
I need to clarify. Josh, you're listening to this, I assume.
He's also a patron.
Yeah, he is. He's an NYMer. I need to listen. I appreciate you supporting. I appreciate you listening. But why in the world did you message Shane?
Uh-huh.
He does nothing for this podcast, and now he's giving you the illusion that he does anything.
Uh-huh.
Josh, he doesn't record. He doesn't
I'm
know
recording
how to
right now.
He doesn't know how to do the computer aspect of it. Any images, I have to make them. Anything we post, I have to post it. Putting it up on Anchor, on anything, he doesn't do it.
How many times do I have to tell you I'm the face? I'm the face of the podcast.
Josh fell into the trap of thinking that you always say I'm the host.
I am,
which is a joke.
I am
because you're not. You're.
Am I the
co-host.
Host or not? No.
You're one of the two hosts, and
who
you do
off,
a lot less.
Who kicks off every show?
It's because that's your only thing you do.
So, anyways, Josh messaged me, the host of Not Your Mama's Christian Podcast. about a couple episodes because we have a lot in common, and so he reached out to us about joining them for their Birdland Radio. It's a 12-hour long podcasting about the Orioles, and we get to host an hour.
Yeah,
so it's like for me, it's like a dream come true because if one of my if I wasn't a pastor, like my dream job would be just to talk about sports if I wasn't playing a sport. So that would be my first.
You wouldn't have been
job.
Playing a sport.
No, not good enough. but to be like a sports host or like a radio host, sports talk. Oh my gosh, that's like what I would love to do. Just talk about the Orioles and the Ravens and the Capitals all day. Oh, that would be phenomenal. And so they're doing a 12-hour long radio stream or podcast stream for the Orioles. And there's also a wiffle ball tournament for the people involved.
Which we have been training our entire life for this opportunity.
Josh, I don't know if you understand this, but like this is, we've been working for this for, I'm 31, you're 33.
Yeah.
We've been working for this for at least 25 years.
Yeah. At least. Now, we weren't used to fast pitching. Yeah. So we're used to lobbying, but yeah.
We had a practice yesterday.
Yeah. So the date for all this is March 31st. Mm-hmm. So you can go to like Birdland Radio on Twitter, and you can kind of find links that way. You can go to birdlandradio.com, mm-hmm. and you can kind of find more information there. What is our time slot?
We will be hosting from 6 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, and we'll also
we're going to share it. And
yeah, we'll post it on our feed here, mm-hmm. As a bonus episode. It'll be all Baltimore sports, Orioles stuff.
So if you're not from the area, you don't care about the Orioles, then you may not be as interested in it, and that's fine. But if you do,
fine, we hate you.
It's fine. Yeah, we don't like you. We can't be friends anymore. But if you do, then check it out. We're gonna be talking all Orioles all the hour.
We'll be resting our thrown out arm from wiffle ball.
Yeah. We practiced wiffle ball yesterday. Topper is on our wiffle ball team.
Yeah. He's going to ex-host.
Yeah. Pouring out RIP. And then our good friend Dave, who's the husband of Caroline Quash, who was on the podcast a long time ago, from Being Careful, a little podcast. And our arms are sore today because we were throwing so hard.
Yeah. We were practicing.
We did not warm up.
No warm up.
So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be an awesome time. And hopefully it'll be something that you enjoy.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated, but it's March 31st. Hey, Shane.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Well, I don't know why you got to sound like that.
I'm just kidding. I really don't have a question for you because I don't care about your opinion ever.
Wow.
So we were trying.
Unbelievable.
So I found an article that I thought would be interesting for us to go over, and then we have some other things we're going to do today. We just wanted to have a fun episode. I don't want to be serious all
the
time.
Let's just have fun. Let's have a good time.
Why do we always have to be serious all the time?
It's just a good, fun time. So party time.
Excellent. So we're going to do 10 Christian cliches to avoid like the plague.
Oh.
So we'll post this. This is.
Oh, I hope I don't say these.
Oh, you might say some of them. This is from redeeminggod.com. The author is Jeremy Myers. We'll post the link on our show notes as well. But we're just going to go through these, and we're going to see why these are cliches we're not supposed to use, we shouldn't be using, mm-hmm. that we should avoid. And if we use any, I bet you do use some of them.
Oh, no.
My guess is you use at least one or two.
Oh, no. Do you use any of them?
No, because I'm cooler than you.
Wow.
Number one, where God guides, God provides.
I've never said that.
I haven't heard that much. It rhymes, though.
Yeah.
And Christians love rhyming sayings.
Where God guides, God provides. So, I mean, that's true.
But no, yeah, but what it's kind of implying and why it's a dumb cliche is that it's referring to more money and finances in that, in the context that if you are going to go somewhere, then God's going to provide the finances for you to do it. Where times, does it always mean that every time God tells you to go somewhere, that money's going to be involved in it? Now you have to,
sometimes you need to be creative. Sometimes God provides in other ways.
Could God possibly call you to plant a church and also be bivocational to plant that church and not provide the finance for you to get paid? Or is it every time money is there, that means God is guiding you that way? Mm-hmm. No, of course not.
But see, just hearing that saying though, it doesn't make me jump directly to finances. In my mind, when I heard it, because that's not a saying that I've really heard very much or definitely never said, but like hearing that where God guides, God provides, that doesn't make me think specifically finances.
Makes you think you're a poet.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't even know it.
Nope, don't even know it.
Number two.
Okay.
Another rhyming one, because they love their rhymes.
Christians love them rhymes.
If know why people like, it's not Christians, everyone likes rhyming sayings because it's easy to remember.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's not breaking news. Yeah, go ahead, continue.
I'm making sure people... Gosh.
Go!
No, shut up. Number two, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it.
I've heard that one, never said it.
If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. Gag me.
Is that what the website says?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't disagree.
Maybe, but... Here's some of the things they were saying. Just because you're at something doesn't mean God brought you to it. Like, couldn't you have brought yourself to something?
But that's
not
what it says. It says if God brings you to it, if, God will bring you through it.
Okay, but there's times where God might bring you to it and you have to sit in it for a while.
True, but eventually. It doesn't say now. It doesn't say God will bring you through it now. It says eventually.
Maybe, but it doesn't.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
It doesn't say eventually. It says he'll bring you through it.
No, no, but I'm saying eventually.
Yeah, it might take like, it could take years. It could take decades.
It could. But here's
you
what.
You hit another octave on that. It could.
And here's what I'm confused about. Is this article, is this like saying that these things are theologically wrong, or is it just like these sayings are corny?
Yeah, they're stupid. Don't say it.
So it doesn't mean that it's wrong.
On the surface, many of these Christian cliches appear to be true, but they are almost always used in damaging and controlling context and teach people some very bad theology.
So you think that that's not true? You think that if God brings you to it, he won't bring you through it?
I think something that a lot of people believe that I don't agree with is that God, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that. I think God will use everything for a reason, but I don't think God makes everything happen for a reason, because then that's a lot of bad things that happen there. Like, well, God wanted that to happen. Like, that's not always true.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and tell somebody, yeah, your mom got cancer because God wanted that to happen.
It's in God's divine plan. No, God, your mom might have got cancer because we live in a sinful, broken world that was never part of the plan, and God has been trying to continually bring people back to him ever since.
But it is damaging to say, oh, everything happens for a reason. And I would say that most people believe that.
Yeah. And another saying I don't like is God will never give you more than you can handle, because I don't think that's theologically true. I think God at times will give you things more than you can handle on your own, because then you realize, oh, I have to rely on him in order to handle it, because I can't handle this on my own. And I think this is kind of in the same vein. Yeah. In its root, it's accurate. Yeah, if God takes you to some place, he'll also get you through that. But there's also times where there is sin and we get to a spot that it makes it seem like, hey, if you're in this bad storm in life and you're in a bad spot, even if you made yourself get there, then God's going to work it out somehow. And he can and he will. But there's going to be times where you have to deal with a consequence for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But that doesn't mean that we're defined by that for the rest of our life.
I understand that. But what this is kind of... when I hear it, that's what I think of. Like, no matter what, where you are, if God got you there, then he's going to get you through it. And yeah, you will be able to get through it. But sometimes, okay, what about people that lose their life for their faith? Did God get them through it?
Yes.
Or is it because they were put in a situation and they were willing to give up everything for him, and then eventually they go to heaven because of that? Not because of that, because of the grace we have through Jesus. But it's implying that any bad situation we're in, that to me, it seems like it's any bad situation that we're in, that God's going to get us out of that bad situation. Or sometimes we have to live in that bad situation.
I agree. But I think you're reading too much into it. I think that it is.
I think you're not reading enough into it.
I think it's entirely. I believe that no matter the situation that we are in, that if we turn to God, that he will provide, and that he is big enough and strong enough to help us through any situation. And even if, in the example that you gave of somebody who gave their life, yes, God got them through, because ultimately the victory that we have is not in this world, but after this world.
I agree with that. But this makes it seem like any trouble you have, that God's going to get you past it. Where at times we will have trouble.
I believe that he can.
You said can. I agree, he can. But I think at times we will have trouble that we caused, and he will let us sit in it.
I agree.
And he will let us deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but that's not what this is saying. That's not.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but that's not accurate. That's not what it says. It says if God brings you to it, God will get you through it, correct?
Yeah.
It doesn't say if God brings you to it, then you won't have any problems, and you won't suffer, and you won't have consequences, and God will just pay for you like a spoiled brat. Like, that's not what it's saying, though. You're reading into that.
It is implying, and this article is saying, and what this article is more defining, and we're only on number freaking two.
But that's not. But
yeah, I'm not done what I'm saying.
You've been talking the whole time.
No, I have not. What this article is saying is that people take these sayings and use them for bad theology, and use them to, and that's why these are things that we should try to avoid, because people can hear that and go, "Oh, if I'm in a bad situation, God brought me to it because everything happens for a reason, and God's going to make." And there's times we're like, "No, you're going to have to sin that, because this is a consequence of the result of your sin."
But
even though God still loves you and God still saved you, and God will always get you where you need to go.
No, but the other thing that's saying is that the first line is, "If God brings you to it, It doesn't say if you made this.
I understand that part.
It says if God brings it to it. So if God brings it, no, you've talked for long enough.
Go ahead.
It's my
turn. Say your thing.
If God brings you to it, if God is the one who is the one ordaining the situation and leading you in this direction, it doesn't say if you made this, if you brought you to this, then God will fix everything. If God is the one calling you somewhere and brings you to something, he will bring you through something.
Are you done?
Yes.
The point of this article is not that it's necessarily always completely theologically incorrect. It's that it's used incorrectly. That's what you're missing. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. Theologically, yes, that is correct. But it is used incorrectly or taken incorrectly too often, which is why this is a cliche we should try to avoid, because people hear it the wrong way.
But it doesn't make that statement any less true. It's if we just say that statement and then just like float that out there and there's nothing else around it, then okay, whatever. If somebody reads it the wrong way or gets a wrong implication from it, then that's a whole nother issue. Yeah, but if we're taking just the statement itself, mm-hmm. I agree with it.
Yeah, the point of this article though is that it's used incorrectly by other people very often.
See, I haven't really heard these terms that often, yeah. At least so far. Okay, go.
So here's another one that theologically 100% agree with, mm-hmm. but is used incorrectly. I'm skipping number four. We'll go back to number three. You can't outgive God. Is that theologically incorrect? No. But why is it used incorrectly a lot?
Because a lot of times churches or pastors will use it to say you need to give more, and they're asking you for your money and
yeah. There's a building campaign or a fundraising campaign, yeah. And then if you give more, I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. You are going to get, and it's implying,
if you're preaching prosperity gospel.
Yes, but even if you're not, mm-hmm. You're not saying it, but it implies, that's what we're looking at for these sayings, how it can be used dangerously, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what, like, number four. Let's go back to number three.
I've said you can't outgive God before.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have.
I don't think I have.
Yes, you have.
I don't think so. I don't think I have. I've given tithing. I just gave a tithe sermon not that long ago, and I don't think I said it. I said that God will open the floodgates. I've said that kind of stuff.
Preach from Malachi 3.
But I always, almost every time I say it, though, I always add that does not mean money. Because if you just say that, mm-hmm. what people will take it as.
I just did a tithing sermon on that passage a couple weeks ago, and I made sure to talk about, this does not mean that if you give $10, you're going to get $20.
Yeah. This not win the lottery because you're giving.
This means that when you're faithful to God, that he provides hope, peace, love. Yeah. Sometimes he provides finances, but that's not a guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah.
In every situation. All it's saying is that God will provide.
Yeah. I mean, God says it. It's clear in the Bible. Yes. I'm going to open the floodgates. And I think some of the ways that God blesses people and provides, mm-hmm. is that he frees you from the grasp of greed in your life.
Yes.
So you are giving more away and now you need less.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have more. It means you have less than everybody else, mm-hmm. but you don't need it.
But it means that that everything that you do need will be provided for by God.
It's a hard issue,
yeah.
and that's why we say it again. Right. But that's why that is a saying that we should either avoid or let's add to this. Mm-hmm. Add to. Because I would never say you can't outgive God without adding a preface of, doesn't correct. Mean you're going to get, like you said, you're going to get $20. All right, I'm going to go back to number three.
All right.
The greatest distance in the universe is the, I've heard this one. The greatest distance in the universe is the 18 inches between your head and your heart.
Yeah, I have heard that one. And I've never said that.
Here, let me read some of the stuff they say for this. This Christian cliche is quite popular, but thankfully it doesn't rhyme. What people mean when they say that is that following God about more than just what I think I missed a couple words.
Wow.
It makes sense. I don't read so good. What people mean when they say it is that following God about more than just what you know, it is about what you do. I suppose this is true at one level, but the fact of the matter is that what we do is most often based on what we think. This is why Paul encourages his readers to renew their minds in Romans 12, 1-2. The renewal of one's minds leads to the renewal of actions and behaviors.
Yeah. It's talking about what your heart is passionate about, and sometimes your heart and your head don't line up because sometimes we can get too logical and we can think about things a certain way, or sometimes we can let our heart and just our passion and our desire affect everything without using our head, and all those sort of things.
The greatest distance in the universe.
it's pretty cheesy.
Yeah, it's a cheesy one. Number five, we are saved by faith alone and not by a faith that is alone. I have never heard that.
What? People say that?
We are saved by faith alone and not by a faith that is alone.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say much about this one because I have written on these Christian cliches elsewhere. Oh, okay. They're not even going to talk about it, but let's skip on.
Yeah, I mean, it's saying that our faith is not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to be by ourselves. We are supposed to be with other believers and also, obviously, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we go through our life without it, then yeah. I understand what it's saying.
I think he's kind of referring to something else with how even the demons believe, but I'm not. It's a whole article he wants me to read. I'm not clicking it. Number six. When God closes a door, he opens a window. I don't even know what that means, honestly.
When I guess they're saying that if something that you thought was going to happen does not happen, that it just means there's another avenue, not necessarily to the same thing, but like another opportunity.
Do you look out the window? Are you have to climb out that window now? Like, is it going to be a harder
climb?
Sometimes
you got to be creative. Sometimes it's not just a door that you walk through. Sometimes it's a window you climb out. Sometimes it's a basement door you got to go out of.
I've heard when God closes a door, he opens another.
Yeah, but it's the same idea.
I've never heard the window. The window.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're just saying that there's other opportunities. Sometimes God closes a door that you've been in for a while or you like maybe a place in life, a job, a church you've been at, whatever it is. Sometimes that ends and God's calling you somewhere else. Yeah, I get it. I don't think that's damaging. How is that damaging?
I just think he was more like, I don't even get what this means.
It's just dumb.
Yeah. Some of these are just like he just thinks they're dumb. Number seven. Man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Have I heard that one? Man meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Let me read what it says. So, God is in the business of getting evil people to do evil things. Man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm kind of not understanding why you didn't like that one. I know that Joseph said something like this in Genesis 50:20, but pretty much just like every other verse quoted out of context, we should not understand Joseph to say that evil things that happen are good. God never calls evil good.
He's saying that like God can use evil things that man does that with evil intentions and use it for good.
And never should we. Evil is evil. What Joseph meant is similar to what Paul in Romans 8, that although evil things happen, God can bring good from them, which is what we actually already said this a little bit, and still accomplish his goal and purposes in our lives despite the evil.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
So it's similar, though.
Yeah, yeah. We said
everything
that earlier.
Happens for a reason.
Yeah. So at first I was like,
it's just a really confusing thing to say.
When you break it down, man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It's implying that the evil thing that God did, that we did, God used that evil for good, where it's not true. Evil is evil. God can take us out of that evil.
He can redeem a situation. It doesn't change the evil act that happened.
Yes. All right. Number eight. Got three more, and then we'll get to a fun little quiz. Three more. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Huh? What? Who says these things? Do not mistake the
forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
That's it? What does that mean?
I know. After I said together, you waited for me to finish. yes, another scripture that is quoted a lot. This one comes from Hebrews 10:25. I wrote on the misquoted verse previously as well. I won't say anything more about it here. Except to say that this Christian cliche is often used as a club to beat Christians over the head who are following Jesus by loving and serving others, but who may not attend church on Sunday morning in a building with stained glass and a steeple. I don't think this is what the author of Hebrews said. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Is it just saying like don't sell short the importance of going to church?
Let's skip that one.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand. Some of these are dumb. Some of them I like, but some of them are dumb.
Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Don't forget to go to church.
I guess what he's saying there is like sometimes people will say, oh, well, I'm not going to church because I'm going out and making a difference in this place, or I'm trying to win people over for Christ or whatever it is.
You ever had people that told you that like, I just do church in my home.
Those people are just lazy. It's really the truth.
But sometimes they've also like been burned by church.
True.
So
that's true.
I hear that. But most of the people that have told that to me,
they just don't want to go to church.
It's because they don't want to. Most people that have been burned by church, they don't say they're doing church at home. They're just like, I'm just recovering or whatever. And I get that. I haven't heard I don't know if I've ever heard someone that's been burned from church and so they do church at home because of it.
Yeah.
I just seen people that are like, I just need a break from it because people are sinful and people have hurt me. And it's crazy when that's, it's so sad when that happens. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many people tell that story. It's sad when the church itself is shooting its own wounded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, number nine, two more. I think you love this article. Everyone, you're like, this is stupid. I like this one. All right, number nine. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to... You never heard this one?
I have, but I don't remember what it...
A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs
to a person who is not.
Yeah.
I've never said it, but I agree with it.
He said, in my experience, those Bibles that are falling apart, you just go buy a new one.
Yeah. Although...
I understand what they're saying is that if it's brand new, then you're never using it, yeah, whatever.
But like the sign of a good Bible is somebody who has written notes in it and has used it. Yes. Kind of like same thing with a baseball glove. We're getting ready to play in a wiffle ball tournament. We don't use baseball gloves. But if your glove is stiff and hard and is not able to you can't use it that well, then it shows you don't play baseball.
a good broken glove
means that you've practiced it, you've used it, those sort of things. The same thing with the Bible.
And what he even says is at times he's found the people that have the Bibles that are falling apart the most and that study more and like read are also seem to be the most proudest, self-righteous, judgmental Christians that he knows. Yeah. That's what he's found in his experience. So
that's fair.
Anyways, last one. I've definitely heard this one.
From me?
I don't think I've heard it from you. God said it. I believe it. Do you remember the last part
God said it. I believe it. He's going to do it.
Nope. God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
I don't like that.
This one's dangerous because here's what it's saying. I actually just talked about this the other day. You know, Nike's saying, just do it.
Yeah.
You cannot find a New Testament commandment that says just do it. Mm-hmm. There's always a reason or a purpose behind it.
Yes.
There's certain times where I tell my kids, hey, just do it. But why do I want them to clean my room? At times they do because they mess up my room. Why I want them to clean their rooms because I want them to be responsible adults. There's always a reason. And God never tells us to do anything like give, like go to church, like be part of community without there being a reason behind it. There's always some kind of reason. So
the reason why that's so dangerous is because throughout many people's lives, they've grown up in the church and they ask questions. And when the church doesn't feel like answering it or doesn't actually know the reason behind it, or even parents do this, they say, you just have to believe.
Yeah.
You just have to have faith. I don't believe that. I believe that God wants us to research it. I believe God wants us to invest time in figuring out what this means because that only enhances it. It's not like God is scared of our questions or our doubts. When we have questions and doubts, if we stay there, then that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But if we investigate them, research them, try to figure out why, what this actually means, then God is going to reveal that to us because it also says in Scripture that God doesn't want to hide wisdom from us.
Yeah.
If we want wisdom, just ask.
And our foundation of our faith is not the Bible.
Yeah.
It's an event. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's where our foundation is found. So when we say something like that, God said, I believe it, that settles it, then what I think it can do is say, listen, it's in the Bible, just believe it.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the point where like, if your foundation is built on what the Bible says, it's a house of cards. You pull one of those cards out, the whole thing can fall. Like, I don't know if I believe in creation anymore. Mm-hmm. I might start believing in evolution. Then the whole house falls, and all of a sudden you have no faith because of that one.
Right.
Where our foundation should be Jesus resurrection, and everything else is built on top of that. Yeah, we need to like, we can't just take the Bible and go, oh, I don't like this, so I'm going to make it work for me. We need to challenge ourselves. But when we tell people, listen, God said it, so just you got to do that now.
So just be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was number 10.
Yeah, that's really important. But when it comes to doubts, throughout history, a lot of times churches have been scared of doubts. But doubt is not a bad thing because doubt leads to questions, questions leads to answers, and answers leads to truth.
Yep.
And when we go through that progression, that's a positive thing.
Yeah.
But when we do have doubts and then we go to the church or other people that we look up to spiritually and then they say, no, look, just don't doubt. Just believe it.
Yeah.
Then we don't get to ask our questions. We don't get answers and we don't find the truth. Yeah. That's a problem.
Here's a couple bonus ones really quick.
Oh.
This is more like on a church sign.
Uh-huh.
This is a CH blank CH.
Oh, yeah.
What's missing?
You are.
You are.
You are. I like church, funny church signs.
That's stupid.
That's
but
a stupid
I do
one.
Like funny ones. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like signs in front of any business.
Yeah.
That is funny.
This isn't as much a cliche, but it's something that, we say a lot, and you'll know when we say it. I'll pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is this something that's like not a cliche, but
because most time people say it and don't mean it.
Yeah, they don't do it.
Yeah, they don't.
It's
do
like,
it.
Hey, good thoughts. Like, hey, man, or yeah.
Or if somebody comes to you and says,
"I'll pray for you," yeah.
But the specific "I'll pray about it" means that like you ask somebody to help with something or do something, and they don't want to say no right then and there, so they just say, "I'll pray about it." When they've really most likely made up their decision, they're just delaying the inevitable.
Here's what what's his name? Jeremy says, the author. I remember when I was a director at a Bible camp and a young male teenager wanted to work as one of my counselors. He asked his dad, and the dad said, "I'll pray about it."
That's a no.
As his father walked away, the young man looked at me and said, "That means no." We can't fool our kids. If you have to make a decision and you want to say no, then say no. Mm-hmm. If you want to say yes, then say yes. But don't blame God for your decision by using the cop-out Christian cliche, "I'll pray about it." Yeah. And I'll even say this. There are certain things you don't have to pray about.
Mm-hmm.
If there are certain things like should I have sex with my boyfriend or girlfriend? You don't have to pray about that.
Yeah.
No. You shouldn't do that. There are certain things that like it's so clear in the Bible. Should I go to church? Don't have to pray about it.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
Should I be nice to this person?
Yeah.
Don't have to pray about it. Yes. Yes, you should.
Yeah. So maybe you have to pray about like the strength to do it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pray about the decision. Sometimes, a lot of times we're like, I'm going to pray about the decision. It's like, yeah, but it's
Should I tithe? Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to pray
you
about
don't
it.
Pray about it.
Yeah, you should. You should do that.
Yeah.
And you can go to impactchurchmd.com. There's a little gift.
And should you go to Impact Church? No. You should come to City on a Hill.
Don't pray about it. All right, so there are some of the cliches. There's a couple of those you didn't like. We got a little fight there, huh?
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, we haven't had
people
one in
say
a while.
That we agree too much.
Yeah, I know.
So
I don't like to agree that much.
No, I agree. We need to. Oh no, we already are agreeing again.
Right back to it. We're agreeing on not liking to agree. Yeah.
Well, let's take a little break, and then we're gonna come back with a fun little quiz. So we have a little quiz that we want to do that we think is pretty funny. But see, we have, being a pastor, Eric, means that we have to, not have to, we get to.
It's have to sometimes.
We get to sing a lot of worship songs. Mm-hmm. And the thing with worship music, I am so thankful that there is actually really quality worship music out there now. And
now.
Then now is what I mean, because there hasn't always been. And there have been some really cheesy songs and some.
But man, there's also a lot of bad worship music out there.
A lot
now.
Of bad worship music out yeah. there. So not theologically bad. We're just saying just the music in general. It's not creative.
What's the most popular ones? The ones that are most popular are not necessarily that creative. It's a basic formula that anyone can sing because you need the crowd to sing. And when you're a musician, we're both musicians. It's hard to like really get into some that are too basic because
of that.
Frank, who's my worship director, leader, and is part of the Revived, who does all the songs on here, he had a lot of trouble picking songs sometimes because there's so many he just does not like. There's times where I've been like, hey, can we do this song for this series because it fits with my series, with the series we're doing? And he does it, but he doesn't enjoy it.
Right.
So worship music is kind of easy to make fun of sometimes because it is... It is. They have a lot of cliches in it.
Mm-hmm. So with us being pastors, there's a quiz online that has lines from worship music that has a blank in it, and we have to fill the blank.
Yep.
And see if we know. It's multiple choice.
And we haven't looked at any of these, so we're gonna do these together and figure it out. And at home, you can write your answers down. And you'll see how many you got right.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're pastors.
We should get them.
Honestly, if we get less than 20.
There's 25 of them, right?
If we 25. If we get less than 20, then I think we should be embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's possible we get all 25.
Yeah, because it is multiple choice. All right?
Let's see. Okay.
So here's question number one. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever blank. Make it ever loving. I'm trying not to sing the song because that would make it easier, I think.
Make it ever
loving.
Can I guess it first? Is it new? Is that one of the options?
No.
Ooh.
Oh, Eric. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever loving, faithful, true, or yours.
It's true, right?
Change my heart, oh God.
make it ever yours, I think. Isn't it?
Oh, no. We were so confident.
Oh, no. I think it's yours.
Oh, let's go with yours. I think it's true. I'm just going to say it, though.
All right.
Change my heart, oh, make it ever true.
True. Faithful. Oh, no. I think it's... Now I'm questioning everything.
It's not faithful.
No. Change my heart, oh, God, make it ever
true.
Yours. Oh, boy. Well, we're going to see at the end. All right.
Would you put yours?
I put yours.
Okay.
Number two. Lord, I... Oh, I should sing it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to blank us.
Save.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it is, too. The other options are help, love, or heal. So we'll go with save.
Save.
All right. Question number three. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the blank shining.
Ooh, do I know someone?
I don't know. It's either evil, darkness, pit.
This one would hold the
crowd.
Say it again.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the blank shining.
Darkness.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know that song.
I don't know it though, but it's gotta be darkness.
Oh boy. We're struggling. Question number four. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, comma, blank. Either
is this a song?
Praise the Lord. Yes, it is true. La 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 la.
No, is that an option?
Or hallelujah.
Is this a song? I know the
seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is true. La 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 la. Hallelujah. I'm thinking hallelujah.
Yeah. I don't think la la la, even though it could be.
I don't know.
Let's do hallelujah.
All right.
Gosh, what's wrong with us? See, we don't know hymns that well.
All right, here we go. Question number five. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious blank.
Jesus, name above. I only have the one melody in my head.
No, what, Lord, I lift your name on high?
No, Jesus, name above all names. That's not it.
Beautiful Savior, glorious Father.
Is it Father?
I think so. Right? It's either Father, Lord, One, or Son. I think it's Father.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Number six.
Oh, gosh, I'm struggling. I'm so
this is bad.
I'm so embarrassed about this.
We bow down. You thought we were going to get 100%.
I thought it was a possibility.
We've only done five of them. We bow down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the blank of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Either fullness.
What is this song?
Perfection, greatness, or wonder. We bow down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the fullness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Not wonder.
No, I think it's fullness.
I think it's fullness too. Fullness.
Number seven.
Gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
To see you high and lifted up,
I know this song.
Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your blank and love as we cry, holy, holy, holy.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing.
Yeah, power, glory, joy, or mercy.
Shane, you thought it was glory. Power.
You are my strength when I am weak.
Oh.
You are the treasure.
This is the old one.
Oh, this is, you just have to fill this, not multiple choice.
Oh, this is a filled
one. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I blank. You are my all in all. Yeah.
You are the
strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek.
Seek.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do seek. Okay?
Because it's right.
Yep. Number nine. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
Oh, I know this one.
All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your blank love.
My Jesus, my Savior. Oh, I only know the
Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise
life.
all of my days. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty. Yeah, it's got to be mighty.
Oh, I didn't even know what word we were looking for.
Mighty.
Oh, yep. I'm just saying.
All right, number 10.
My comfort.
Yeah, my shelter. I could sing unending songs of how you saved my soul, and I could dance blank miles because of your great love. I would walk 500 miles.
I was thinking the same thing.
I could sing.
Sorry, say again.
I could sing unending songs of how you saved my soul, and I could dance blank miles because of your great love. A trillion, a hundred, a thousand, a million. Oh, I don't know.
I feel like I know this song, but I'm not recognizing it.
I could dance, I'm going to say 1,000.
Is that rhyme with structurally, lyrically?
I don't know. Well, I'm going with that.
I think it's a million.
You think it's a million?
Just go to the next one.
All right, we're going 1,000. Shout to the north and the south. I hate this song. I forgot the song
Shout
exists.
To the north and the south. Sing
that's
to
blank.
The east and the west. Is it sing?
Sing. It's either cry, shout, sing, or laugh. It's sing. Yeah, that's sing. That's a dumb song.
I hate that song.
It's so cheesy.
I can't remember the last time I heard that song.
That was like 2000.
Yeah. Good.
I'm trading my sorrows.
Oh, I know this
I'm
one.
I'm trading
my shame. Right?
Yep. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. This was the first song I learned how to play on bass. Do, 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 do.
Yep.
Yep. So,
terrible song.
Sickness. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame.
Is the word shame? Is that the blank?
That's what I'm picking.
Yeah. I don't know that if that was the blank or not.
Yeah. All right. Number 13. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my blank in my darkest hour.
Oh, I know the song.
Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my needs, life, thoughts, or dreams.
Oh, gosh.
Remember how does it go?
Remember I thought I was going to get 100%?
Yeah, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my thoughts.
What are the options?
Needs, life, thoughts, or dreams. In my darkest hour. I think it's life.
I don't know.
All right, we're going with life.
I don't know.
14. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth, not women, and know.
Say it in there.
That's
a worship leader. You would say.
It's like,
just so you know, not women.
Yeah, it's like one of those songs where like the men and the women alternate singing, and the women's only line is not women. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know that He is the way to heaven, joy, freedom, or mercy.
Oh, I have no clue.
Here's why this is so hard. All of these words can work.
I don't know this song, though.
Yeah, we want to see we want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land that all men might see the truth and know that He is the way to... I'm going with freedom.
All right, just do it.
All right, 15. Oh, no, another fill in the blank. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to blank your heart.
Come... How does the song go? Gosh, these songs, I have not... There's not any new ones. They're all the old ones I listened to when I was in elementary school.
Yeah. Now is the time to worship. Gosh, come. Now is the time to blank your heart.
Oh, the blank.
gosh, I don't know.
I remember this song, though. You remember this song, right?
Yes, I do. But now all these worship songs are blending
in my
head.
They are blending.
I can't keep them
I bet there's some people listening that are screaming.
Yeah.
Come, into their AirPods.
Now is the time to worship.
Come.
Now is the time to fulfill.
To give.
Let's say give. All right. 16. Your name is like...
It's embarrassing. I hope we get 50%.
I don't know if we will. Your name is like blank on my lips. Your spirit like water
sugar.
To my soul. It's not sugar. Oh, it's an option.
It's not sugar.
Your name is like blank on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Gosh,
so,
all these
is it
songs
honey?
It's like I thought honey. It was honey.
Yeah, it's either water, peanut butter, sugar, or honey. Your name is like honey on my lips. Yeah. All right. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Oh, God.
Your blank presence living in me. Your holy presence.
Is that it?
Living.
Gosh, I don't remember this song.
In me.
Yeah.
And I
will always love you.
I'm desperate for you.
Yeah.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Oh, is it your? It's either very holy, perfect, or mighty. I think it's holy. Or is it very? Your very. No, your holy presence. It's holy.
Okay, that was all you in that one.
You don't know that song?
I do, but I can't remember it.
All right. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even blanks for you.
Oh, gosh, these are so hard now.
Faints, dies, yearns, or wishes? It's got to be yearns.
How does the song go? Say the lyric again.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul
longs. Man, this is killing
me.
And
even yearns.
We need
for
a dad here.
Yeah.
Dad knows all these songs.
We should have called him. Yearns. I'm going with yearns.
Okay, go.
Oh, now the fill in the blank. Okay. Salvation springs up from the ground. Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Seek the blank and heal the lame. Jesus, bring glory to your name. I've got no clue.
Say the lyric again.
Salvation springs up from the ground. Lord, rends the heavens and come down. Seek the blank and heal the lame. Seek the lost?
That just put it. I have no clue either.
Yeah,
gosh, I'm
that.
So embarrassed how little these songs I know. These are this is how
this is,
this
I think
servant?
This is before our time, most of them.
Yeah.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us blank. Humble, worthy, holy, or yours.
Gosh, are those the options every time?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Even songs that I do know, the options make me question.
Yeah.
It's like the multiple choice is tripping me up even more. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble, worthy, holy, or yours.
Humble.
All right, let's go with humble. Another fill in the blank.
Great. What number is this?
21.
Gosh, just get over this quiz. See our terrible result.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been blank, his love endures forever. For the life that's been given, sacrifice.
What's the first lyric?
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
your love endures forever.
For the life that's been given. I think it's given.
Yeah, just put it.
Yeah, all right.
Gosh.
When the music fades.
Oh, is that the next song? All is stripped away.
Yeah, that's a
and I
script.
Simply come.
Yeah.
Long and just you bring.
Something that's a word. All right, 23. I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me.
Wow.
I'm here to blank you.
Let's schedule a lunch meeting.
Reveal yourself to me. I'm here to meet with you again. It can't be, right? Why would they?
It could be.
I'm here to love you. I'm here to find you. I'm here to see you. It's got to be C. I'm here to see you. Reveal yourself to me.
Yeah.
Or find. It could be fine.
Really, any of them works.
C.
Let's go with C.
All right, two more. God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
I know this one.
You are
holy. Holy.
Yeah, that's an option. Holy. Yep.
Yeah, it's definitely holy.
Yeah, I like that. How's that go again?
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy.
Or mighty.
Holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy. Not mighty. You are mighty. No,
it's got to be holy.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Yep. All right, last one. I will exalt your name. I will exalt your name. I will exalt your name.
Wow, real original.
Oh, my God. Never before and never again will there be blank like you.
Exalting.
Nope.
Is it a blank? Is it a fill in the blank?
No, it's either. There will never again will there be one like you, a Lord like you, someone like you, a Savior like you.
I would say one.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know that song, though.
All right, let's submit our answers.
Oh, gosh.
All right, let's see.
Oh, man. I'm hoping we get 50%.
Oh, it doesn't give me just a... It gives me everyone.
Oh, no. We got to figure... Hold on. Let's pause really quick.
Oh, no, I got it.
Okay, what is it?
We got 17 out of 25. That's more than half.
Hey!
That's better than I thought.
We got less than... That's way better than I thought. Okay, what are some of the ones we got wrong?
All right.
Let's go through the ones we got wrong.
The very first one we got wrong. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever. We said yours, it's true.
I said true. I said true. I knew it was true.
All right. Let's see. Number five, we got wrong. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious. We said Father. It's Lord.
I don't know that one.
Do you want me to read everyone we got wrong?
Yeah, we only got so many wrong.
Okay. We bow down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. We said fullness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. It's the greatness of his mercy.
Same thing.
All right. Oh, yeah. We got the 1,001 right. You said million. Remember, I would walk, I would dance 1,000 miles.
I would walk
yep. 500 miles for Jesus. In someone had to have done that.
All right.
Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my life, we said. In my darkest hour, it's over all my dreams.
Oh, yeah. He will do that for your dream. Most of them are the ones we just were guessing.
Yeah. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land that all men might see the truth and know that he is the way to heaven, not freedom. We said freedom.
Yep. He's not the way to freedom.
Uh-huh.
He's only the way to heaven.
Oh, man. I said this. I know I'm the one.
Oh.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Yeah. My soul longs and even, I said, yearns for you. It's faints for you.
I knew it was faints.
Yeah.
I did not say that. I had no clue. But I knew it was faints.
Tell you what, though. We have...
Is that all of them we have?
No. There's... But all the, like, fill in the blanks.
We got all the fill in the blanks right?
I don't know. Maybe. I can't tell. Anyways. All right. And then I think two more we got wrong. Yep. Two more. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that has been given is what we said. His love endures forever. The correct answer was reborn. That was a fill in the blank.
We didn't know that one.
All right. Then last one. I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to see you is what we said. Reveal yourself to me. It was find you.
That was all you, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm the one who got most of them. 17 out of 25.
Hey, for pretty songs good. We don't really know.
The average score for this quiz is 15 out of 25, so we're above average.
Can I, before we close out, my daughter, if I put a worship song on Brooklyn, she always goes, oh, this is a church song.
She knows.
She's five, and she knows. That shows the fact that we didn't know most of the songs and we could guess them is not a good thing. that shows a lack of creativity in most modern worship music.
Yeah, yeah.
It does.
This isn't modern, though.
Yeah, it's
true. These are probably like 20 years old, most of those songs.
Yeah, but even modern isn't. Yeah. It's getting a little more creative. But
it's just...
But then a song like So Alive by Hillsong, which I like, like got in trouble. People got mad about it because it talked about science.
Oh, I don't know that.
You don't know that song? Look it up. It's actually good. But yeah, they got in trouble because it said nature and science scream your name or something. What's one lyric?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, just look. And it talks, like, people think it's talking about evolution.
People think, when it comes to science, Christians get all weird about it, and then that gives Christianity an even worse. And that could be a whole, you know, that's going to be a whole other episode. Yeah. I actually just got done reading a book called How Science and the Bible Agree.
Why don't we get the author on?
Because it was a guy who was on the Today Show. He's like really famous.
We can
guy.
Get him.
Was it Michael Gian?
Did we get Ted DiBiase or did we not get Ted DiBiase?
It's true. It's true. I'll see. I don't know how to even find this.
Oh, of course you don't. I got to do it, don't I?
He's not on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Just find his publicist. Anyways, we'll talk about this off. Find his publicist, please, or his press, whatever.
Yeah.
And then lie and act like we are a lot bigger of a podcast than we are.
That's the only way we get guests.
That's how it works. That's how you do it. Anyways, all right. Hey, well, thanks for listening to another episode of Not Your Mom's Christian Podcast.
Uh-huh.
Again, March 31st.
Be on the lookout for the Orioles podcast at Birdland Radio.
And we're getting ready to bring home that championship, It's coming.
Not Your Mama's Christian softball team.
It's wiffle ball team. Oh, embarrassing. Oh, anyways, all right. See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to Not Your Mama's Christian Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a nice review.
To support the podcast, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/NYM Christian Podcast.
Music provided by The Revived. Check them out at therevivedmusic.com. Stay connected with us by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram.